I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you didn't know?
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome into Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yes, it is time for the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Tuesday evening with you for the full four. We're asking you to download the Odyssey app. You're not in the car as much. You want to listen in. Put the Odyssey app on one of your devices today. Take your smartphone. Take your Alexa speakers. Take your tablet. Take your Game Boy, your Roomba, your camcorder, whatever your device is. Just download it on something to be able to catch us when you're on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And as always, the best way to keep up with the show is through our personal Twitter pages. At JMCH316 is your water cooler talking points. 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Producing the show, as always, other side of the glass, Day-Day's in the house at the D. Lewis for real. Well, a lot to get into with you here this evening. And let's start with the Atlanta Braves. Nice win last night against the first-place Minnesota Twins, albeit they're now a .500 team in Minnesota, but still a win against a team that has been a masher the last few years. Buxton and Sano and Kepler and all these guys, you know, when they had Nelson Cruz a few years ago. You know, they set the Major League record for home runs in a season. So they've been the ultimate, you know, smash it all over the ballpark type of team. Braves did an outstanding job, and Spencer Strider more specifically. So we'll talk about him in just a second here. But now we get Bryce Elder on the mound and Joe Ryan. And this is an interesting pitching matchup because this is a good matchup. So Joe Ryan, if you don't know, he won 13 games last year, had 151 strikeouts and 147 innings for the Twins. This year, he's already got 8 wins with an ERA below 3 in 15 starts. He's got a shutout. He's got 93 and two-thirds innings pitched with 100 strikeouts. So, again, while it's not Spencer Strider-like, his 3 years in the big leagues have been his rookie year, 10.1 strikeouts per 9, 9.2 last year, 9.6 strikeouts per 9 innings this year. And he only gives up 0.8 home runs. He's only given up 8 homers in 93 and two-thirds. So this is going to be a good pitching matchup, Elder versus Joe Ryan. You know, Ryan, probably arguably their ace on the staff. He's got almost seven walks. He's got almost seven strikeouts to every walk. He's got 100 strikeouts and 15 walks. That's an absurd number. 6.67 strikeouts to walk ratio. It's telling you he doesn't put people on base. 0.907 whip. Not even a one whip. So he's been outstanding for the Minnesota Twins this year. And look, this will be a really good pitching matchup. We'll see. You know, the Braves offense has just kind of, you know, brushed off their shoulder every quality starting pitcher that they're finding. And then the bad pitchers that they're seeing, they're just mauling them. They're making some of those pitchers, you know, again, not want to play baseball any longer. So the Braves offense keeps things rolling. We talked about this last night on the show. Braves are on pace for over 900 runs, specifically 901 runs. That'd be the second highest total in the 20th century and beyond in their history. 2003 team had the remarkable number of 907 runs. That's still the best Braves offense I've ever seen. But this offense is getting it cranked up and getting it rolling. And they're on pace for 900 runs this year. That's a lofty total, but that's what they've been. 5.56 runs per game. That's a pretty good number. You're averaging about 5.6 runs per game. You're going to win a lot of ball games. And the Braves are doing that. So the Braves did, I guess, pick up a half game in the standings. So the Braves now are 6.5 over the Marlins, 10.5 over the full 16 games over the Mets. How's that working out for the Mets, by the way? 3-7 in their last 10. Lost two in a row. They stink. You think that team is going to overtake the Braves? I don't care if the Mets spent the gross national product of California to field a roster. They're as dysfunctional as it can be. We'll talk more about that coming up in What's Bugging Chuckery. Because this is getting funny now. And they're a funny organization. They suck. That Day-Day, did I ever tell you that I hate the Mets?
Like, yes.
I hate the Mets. I hate them through and through. They suck. So anyway, Braves and Twins will get cranked up here in just a few minutes, in about 10 minutes or so from right now. So... you know, Spencer Strider was outstanding last night in the victory. 7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 10 strikeouts. The only ball that he, you know, wanted back was the Joey Gallo home run. Other than that, he was outstanding. So we had talked about Strider in the first 3 starts of June had given up 15 runs in 15 innings pitched. His last 2 starts, as he's gotten things calm back down on the 20th of the month and the 26th last night. His last 2 starts, 2-0, 13 innings pitched, 2 earned runs, 2 walks, 1 homer, 19 strikeouts, and a 1.38 ERA in the last couple of starts. And remember, you know, again, while he's always been able to strike people out, he had not been giving up home run balls and such, but he had given up 6 homers in his first 3 starts in the month of June and only 1 in his last 2 starts. 15 innings, 6 homers, 13 innings, 1 homer over the last couple of starts. And he's obviously pitching some innings. Again, he'd only pitched 15 innings in 3 starts, averaging 5, you know, innings start. Now he's up to 6-7 in his last couple. So it's good to see because, again, until we figure out this whole pitching rotation thing and what the long-term rotation is going to be, you need quality starts from these guys, from Elder, from Strider, from Morton. You can't have them flub it all up. And I know nobody's perfect, but you can't afford to have kind of flub-ups right now until you start to get some guys back. Or you find some solutions, you know, even if it's outside the organization, till you find some solutions to what your full starting rotation is going to be. So Braves are coming up here in just a few minutes to take on the Minnesota Twins. I want to play you a clip because I heard Josh Kendall. So he's the Falcons reporter for The Athletic. And I want to hear from, because I want to make sure that I heard this clip right. Josh Kendall was talking about the Falcons and their lack of sacks. Let me hear this clip because I want to make sure that I heard it in the right context of everything.
Percentage-wise, it might be the same because you're right, Dean. You know, I think if don't quote me on this. I'm not sitting here looking at the numbers, but I bet you if you looked at the game-by-game numbers, you'd see, you know, games where Atlanta blitzed on 55% of the snaps,
yeah,
and games where they blitzed on 17% of the snaps. But Dean Pease, let's don't get this twisted. Dean Pease is an excellent NFL defensive coordinator, knows a ton of NFL defense, and deployed a lot of different things with an undermanned unit the last 2 years.
Yep.
So you're right. They tried a lot of things. They just didn't do it very effectively. Will they, you know, will the numbers be drastically different? I don't know. But I think it will look a lot different, yeah, to the lay people like myself out here who are just watching it, because it'll be more effective.
Okay, that's not the answer I wanted. He had a quote on there where he talked about the importance of sacks. So you played everything else except the actual clip that I wanted. But again, that was his answer to what they were doing. But he talked about the importance of sacks, and what he said is that as you look at the NFL and the metrics and some of the different things, you realize how much more important sacks have become in the league. Okay? And see if you can find that clip, Dade. It was, I don't know if it was right before or right after, but he talked specifically about that. Okay? Now, with that in mind, hasn't there been a host on this station that has broken down 17,000 ways to Sunday about the importance of sacks in the NFL? And again, telling you about playoff teams, telling you about Super Bowl teams, telling you about this, telling you about that. I saw this stat today. The Falcons, the last 3 years combined, 2022, 2021, and the pandemic year of 2020, they have 68 total sacks. The Eagles had 70 last year. Not over the last 3-4 years. The Eagles had 70 last year. The Falcons, for 3 years running, have had 68. Have you got that clip? All right, let me hear the clip.
I think that you're going to see them try to get their hands on balls. I mean, if you look at the advanced analytics, the more you look at the advanced analytics, the more you see how valuable sacks are.
And hold up, stop. Play that part again.
The more you see how valuable sacks are.
Go back some.
The more you look at the advanced analytics, the more you see how valuable sacks are.
Oh, really? Wow. Hey, wow. You mean to tell me that maybe I'm right? Wow. How about that? So when all you nudniks out there well, sacks are important, it's the most important thing you can do in the NFL as a defense. You have to sack the quarterback. You can't get away with it in this league anymore. Sacks are overrated. That's what dumb people say. And again, it's my biggest concern. Not whether or not we add another wide receiver. Jiminy Christmas, how many guys are we going to draft that stand 10 yards away from the line of scrimmage? Then you wonder why we can't fix anything. Can you tell him angry now? Can you tell him teed off now?
Sacks don't matter.
Okay. Tell that to the Eagles and the Chiefs and the Bengals and all the good teams in the NFL, the Buffalo Bills. Tell that to them. Day-Day, Where did the Eagles end up last year? The number one sack team in the league?
Super Bowl.
Oh, where did the Chiefs end up? They were number two.
Super Bowl.
Oh, really? How about the year before, the team that finished third in the NFL? What'd they end up doing? What'd the team that finished third in the NFL in sacks end up doing last year? They won the Super Bowl.
They won the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah. How about the team that finished fourth in the NFL in sacks the year before that? What'd they do? Say win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Oh. So the last three Super Bowl winners have finished second, third, fourth in the NFL in sacks. The last 14 Super Bowl participants have averaged 43.5 sacks. We've had 68 in 3 years. And you guys wonder why we can't win. Oh, well, we don't have enough wide receivers. Jiminy freaking Christmas. Are we on a podcast where I can start dropping F-bombs? I don't understand why we don't win. So, 404-726-0929. Will the Hawks dip back into the luxury tax? My thoughts, your thoughts, it's all next. 404-726-0929. I don't understand why we don't win. Why we haven't been to playoffs since 2017. Chucker in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, Net to the Game, Odyssey.com app.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing is precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out at the Key Studios on this Tuesday evening with you. All right, 404-726-0929. Simple question. Will the Hawks get themselves back in the luxury tax? We're going to talk to Brad Rowland coming up here in about 20 minutes from right now. He is the host of the Locked On Hawks podcast, a daily podcast about the Atlanta Hawks on the Locked On Network. I think I know somebody who is on that network as well. Not just Brad. I think I know somebody. Do you know anybody, Day-Day, who's on that network?
Yeah, there's a guy.
All right.
Yeah, there's a guy.
Yeah,
there's
Jabron. He's a guy that's always yelling. Anyway, you know, I will give credit to one of our callers that we had last night on the show. And I believe it was Owen that called up late last night when we were talking about the Hawks and the trade and all that kind of stuff. And he brought up a good point that you don't get out of debt just to go back into debt, right? You don't get out of the luxury tax to put yourself back into it. And again, I'm not going to, you know, use the words of Landry Fields and, you know, whatever else and, you know, Tony Ressler and all this kind of stuff, collaborative, communicative, and just all the folderol talking points that come from all of this. No, I mean, it is true. You don't get yourself out of that by making a move to all of a sudden jump back in. And Mike Bell and I were talking in the bullpen area, you know, during one of the commercial breaks, and they said, well, what do you think they're going to do and all that kind of stuff? I'm like, how are you not going to get in the luxury tax when you have a supermax player? Like, it's hard. Again, the luxury tax, I believe, was like in the 150 range. You've got a guy making a third of that money. One guy making almost a third of that money that gets you in the luxury tax. Like, that's hard when you have one guy who's a third of that number for the luxury tax to avoid it. Like, you don't have, it's not just you have the $20 million guys. You got a guy that makes 40, what, he's going to make $42, $44 million a year, and by the time it's all said and done, he'll make $46, $48 million. Like, that's a big number. And when you see Bradley Beal getting 50-plus million a year, like that's hard to avoid all of that. Unless you draft so well, unless you hit on draft picks that don't cost you a lot of money and you have a superstar player and a bunch of guys that are outstanding, you know, first-year contract guys, or you have things like, you know, the best coach in the league or whatever. But it's hard to try to avoid all of that when you have the roster and the personnel that the Hawks have. And again, we said last night, the next move is going to be the one that I think sets the tone and tenor. Like, in a vacuum, I understand that we talked about the Hawks didn't get anything back for John Collins, and it was a salary dump, okay? But the next move is going to be the one that gives me what I feel like will be the direction of what this team is. If we make another trade, I don't care who it is, if it's Collins or, you know, I should say Capella or DeAndre Hunter or somebody like that, or even DeJounte Murray, and we don't get anything back, then I'm going to be like, okay, this is all about just dumping salary and freeing up space and all this good kind of stuff. The Hawks have a $25 million exemption. What are they going to use that on? You know, there's so many. And again, when you don't, and this is not a matter of, you know, Landry Fields is making all these moves or this, that, and the other and everything. No, we don't have any understanding about what the direction of the franchise is. That's not the same thing as saying that, well, you know, he's making moves behind the scenes and all that. No, we don't have any idea what the direction of the franchise is. I have no clue what the direction is. Do I think that they want to win? Sure, they want to win. I want to win. I'm not going to spend any money on it to win, but I want to win. So, yeah, I think everybody wants to win, but are you doing the things necessary to get to that point? You know, we talked about with Jason Longshore last night, Atlanta United, when they got down 2-0 in the first half of that match, they had to take some chances. They had to take some risks. They had to kind of sell out to do it. Now, it didn't work, but that was their strategy. Well, guess where we're at now? After a couple of years of muck and mire, during the regular season, we're at the point where we have to kind of sell out a little bit. We're at the point where we have to do some drastic things and try to figure this thing out. And I don't think it's just Quinn Snyder simply rolling out the ball and saying, okay, I'm the savant and, you know, we'll make it all right. No. No, I don't think it's just that easy. I think there's a lot of work that this roster needs to it. And it feels like that there is a dysfunctional element about what this roster is. And so I don't think that they are going into luxury tax. Now, I will say I was wrong about the idea of that they were going to just run this thing back. So at least they made the move to move Collins on, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, whether they got anything back or not. You know, I think that was a savvy move to free up the money for the exemption, get themselves under the luxury tax, open up a roster spot, right? Like I'll buy into what the goal was of that move. That was not a move where you were going to expect to get pieces back and all of a sudden become a title contender. That was a move to set up the next move. That's what they do in chess, right? Don't you play chess? Isn't the idea to make a move to set up your next move?
Yep.
Not just, you know, have the, you know, king stand in front of the queen and, you know, get popped for it. I mean, your move is to set up what the next move is going to be. Well, that's what this feels like. That's what this feels like for the Atlanta Hawks, that they're setting up to make their next move. Now, it may not be the right move. It may not work itself out. But I want to see them get a little bit hungry and you know, start scavenging for food. Like, we want to get this thing on track. Not just give me lip service about, well, you know, we can and we can't be in the – I mean, it's the most non-answer ever. Well, we have the power to be in the luxury tax. Sure you do, because you were in the luxury tax. That doesn't take a whole lot. Well, you know, we have the power to get out of the luxury tax. Yep, you proved that with the John Collins trade. He salary dumped it. So we get all that. That doesn't mean we're a better basketball team. That doesn't mean that we've gotten better as a basketball team. And I'll believe Tony Ressler and whatever Landry Fields says. I like Landry Fields, but that's a Tony Ressler call. Again, Tony Ressler, if he does not want to be in the luxury tax, there's no way Landry Fields is going to talk him into it. If he doesn't feel like it's making sense, there's no way he's going to get talked into it just for the sake of saying, well, you know, we may be a good franchise or whatever like that. No, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. You think Kevin Huerter was a basketball decision? Think Kevin Huerter was looked at as a guy who, you know, couldn't do anything for the Atlanta Hawks and they needed to get rid of him? Or was it that he was going into the first year of his $64 million extension? Funny how those two things kind of tied in together, right? Was Kevin Huerter a problem? Did Kevin Huerter look like a guy who couldn't play during the playoffs? Did he look like a guy who couldn't help us win games against Philadelphia, the Knicks? Was that what he looked like? I didn't see that. And we watched every playoff game in the studio here. I didn't see that. So again, I don't think they're going to dip their toe into this. And I think they did what they wanted to accomplish, just like at the trade deadline. They made some nice moves, but they certainly got under the luxury tax even more and certainly put some distance between them and where the luxury tax is. Now let's see if they dip their toe back into it. Unless you're telling me that they're going to, you know, that they're going to, you know, make some bold kind of move or use that exemption on something. I don't even know what they can do with that, you know, exemption, but it's $25 million. Okay. And we have that at our disposal. Again, the league year, I don't know what day the league year starts, but the trade can't be announced until July 6th. So that's what, Thursday? Yeah, Thursday of next week. So a week from tomorrow. No, it's today. No, what's today? What's today? Tuesday? Huh? No.
It's like in 2 weeks because next Tuesday is the 4th.
Yeah, and so 2 days later you said the 11th. July 6th.
Oh, you said the 6th. I'm sorry. I don't know why I said the 7th.
July 6th is when they can
Thursday,
announce
the trade. Yes.
Yeah, it's a week. It's a week from 2 days from now. So it's a week from Thursday is when they can announce the trade. And I don't know if that's the specific day that the new league year starts. If it is on July 6th or not, I haven't really looked it up. But I would guess that that's about when the new league year starts and they can announce those kinds of trades. By the way, Ronnie is just homered in the game. So bottom of the first, and Ronnie's already homered. So here we go. Lead off a home run. Get the run back to the Twins. Got spotted in the first inning. So anyway, I hope that they do. It's time to get bold. It's time to do something bold with this roster. It's time to do something out of the box. It's time to get creative, whatever it is. But if we're just going to be a fledgling team that's trying to cut salary when we can, then we're not going to get anywhere with it. We're not going to get anywhere with this, and we're not going to become a, forget championship caliber team, a consistent, second round playoff team. So I don't know what to make of all of it, but I don't think that the Hawks are going to dip their toe back in the luxury tax. I think now that they are out of it, I think they're going to do everything they can to stay out of the luxury tax. We'll see. We'll ask Brad Rowland about all of this, and we'll see what happens. But anyway, should be a fascinating offseason for the Hawks. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Brad Rowland here, host of the Locked On Hawks podcast. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, Not to the Game, Odyssey.com now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios with you on this Tuesday evening. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Braves playing some long ball right now. Ronnie is homered. Murphy is homered. Riley is homered. 4-1. Take that, Minnesota. The all-time single season. And we just talked about, Ryan, how third of an inning, four hits, four earned runs, no walks and a strikeout. He's got 20 pitches. They just beat the tar feathers out of him. Just bombs away. Well, John Collins traded. Our long national nightmare is over. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Brad Rowland. He is the host of the Locked On podcast, Locked On Hawks podcast, the daily podcast about the Atlanta Hawks. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page at BT Rowland. Brad, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes here on the show tonight.
Happy to do it, and always happy to talk with you about anything, really, with regard to Atlanta sports across the board.
Well, listen, I guess this was inevitable, and I guess, it's a salary dump, but at the same time, I don't think that they were ever going to get anything of real value back. I think the value is, honestly, the salary savings, the exemption, the roster spot. But from a player standpoint, it's Rudy Gay and a second-round pick. But did you feel like they were ever going to get really anything back compensation-wise in return for a trade of John Collins?
As far as this offseason is concerned, basically no. I think it was going to be something like this. Perhaps around the draft, there would have been more of like a pick swap, that kind of thing. There's a little bit more, relatability and what you could get around the draft. But the mistake, really, if you want to point to one in terms of not trading him, would have been trading him well earlier than this. They would have gotten more than this for John Collins a year ago or 2 years ago. As far as this offseason is concerned, they basically were just looking to get off the contract. They can spend it however they want to, but it's the save that they're looking for and the flexibility that comes along with that. But, yeah, I mean, Rudy Gay is basically, dead salary at this point in time, and they're just looking to sell that money for the future. And I do understand all the rationale there. Of course, it's not a basketball trade at that point. It's more about the shuffling the deck chairs with regard to the money. But this is kind of what I expected.
Brad, I know hindsight is always 20/20. Was it a mistake to give John Collins the $125 million contract when they did?
I think it hasn't gone well, for sure. And I said this before, but if you look at the way that landscape was, if you go back to that time, it's a little bit revisionist, of course. But the Hawks were kind of fitting against themselves. There wasn't really a huge market for John, and they could have probably, you know, sweated it out a little bit longer and made him kind of pay a little bit less in terms of what they actually pay them. You know, as far as like, retaining him, I think that was probably going to happen, and it probably should have. The timing of that was just the case where they were coming off the great run that they had, and it was always going to be him coming back to the team, but they could have played a little bit more hardball with that contract, and certainly, given what they're trading for him, to give him a basically away for nothing now, it doesn't look fantastic. Now, there is 2 years of value that he's got on the team the last 2 years, but, you know, again, Austin played with the last 2 years, so I think all things equal, probably not. But you know, in the NBA, if you're trying to win, you want to retain your assets, especially when you're coming off that kind of piece of the Hawks head. So keeping him was always going to be what happened. That's just kind of the reality, but they could have been a little bit better with the way that they negotiated that contract.
All right, let's put Brad on hold for just a second as we get his audio fixed and potted back up on there. So Brad Rowland is the host of the Locked On Hawks podcast, a daily podcast talking about your Atlanta Hawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. And Brad is joining us here on the waitfor.com hotline. Brad, we got you for a better connection now.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, it was my headphones disconnected. So here we are. I was just talking to nobody. My apologies.
No, it's all right. We kind of heard you in an echo chamber, so that's what we heard. You know, look, I'm not mad at the decision to trade John Collins and even the compensation, but how important does this next move become? Because won't that kind of give us the idea of, okay, we're either going to be a team that's going to contend or luxury tax, or it just feels like that. It's setting up that the next move has to be somebody that's a difference maker for this roster.
Yeah, I do think that it's going to have to be something bigger, especially to sell it to your fans. You know, when you're making a trade like this, you know, you can't really sell that they got better with that deal on Monday. So as far as the setup is concerned, there's still some work to be done. They're still in a place where they have some contracts that are not great. The front court is kind of, you know, disjointed. But they're setting up for, if they want to, kind of a bigger splash. The problem is they've already traded, you know, 2-3 first round picks in the future. That's usually what the capital that you're going to use in those kind of big splash trades. But I think this is definitely more of a retooling effort. It's not a rebuild, but when you play the way they played the last 2 years, it's really kind of hard to run it back. And, you know, Collins is the first step, but I do think that it's going to be more of a pointed roster change versus tweaking on the margins eventually. I'm not sure if it's going to be now. I think the Hawks might just kind of run it back a little bit around the margins this year. But as far as like a year from now, if the results are similar, you got DeJounte Murray expiring, all that fun stuff. Like, they're going to have to make some bigger decisions at some point.
Do you think that if Quinn Snyder wanted John Collins to be here and be on this roster, that he would still be here?
I think it would have helped for sure. You know, I hesitate to say definitively because Quinn has said himself, I know we talked to Jeff Schultz and others, like, he said that he's not in control of the roster, and I do believe him. I think he has a big say on the roster. And especially when you're a guy who just got here with a lot of power and a 5-year contract, I think if you went into Landry Fields' office or Tony Russell's office and said, please don't trade John Collins, they probably wouldn't have done it, if that makes sense. You know, coaches don't often do that. They kind of, especially new guys that are just coming in, they don't go to the mat like that. And ultimately, I think from the top down, they were always going to trade someone with a bigger contract this offseason. But sure, I think if Quinn had really like said, this is my guy, don't trade him, that does have some serious sway if that were to happen.
So what does the $25 million exemption that the Hawks have mean in the grand scheme of things? What do they do with that?
Well, the answer is maybe nothing. Trade exceptions can be really useful. They can also be assets that never really do anything for you. Basically, what it can do is the Hawks are allowed to now take up to $25 million in a trade for a player or players in the same deal without having to match salary. Now, the problem with that is if they were to do that, they would be way, 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 way over the luxury tax. And I think that's not really something that's probably going to happen in the near future. But it doesn't have to be all that money either. If they want to go out and, you know, trade for a guy that has a salary in the $12 million range, $15 million range, they can take that guy in now without having to send anything back. And that flexibility can be very useful, especially in a league now where there's – I mean, honestly, the Hawks are one of these teams this week – there are teams that are trying to get off salary for not a lot in return for just financial reasons. And perhaps the Hawks can turn around and grab a guy that is very useful to them from another team that's trying to sell. So long story short, it's an asset that could be very useful. Also, this happens all the time where teams have these exceptions and you never even know about them. Like, for instance, the Justin Holliday one, the Hawks just had for a year. They're now using it, but they didn't have to use it. It's one of those things where it can be appealing and you can kind of sell it that way, but also it may expire without actually being used.
So I guess the question becomes, I mean, when you have a supermax player that's on your roster, it feels like it's hard to avoid the luxury tax unless you just have the most outstanding drafts in the history of the NBA with it, right? I mean, you know, you've got to, you know, it's like the NFL. I mean, when you have a $50 million quarterback, you better have top-notch first-round draft picks and have cheap labor on your roster or you're going to be over the cap. So short of all of that, and Trey's not going anywhere, but how difficult is the building of this roster to avoid a luxury tax when you have a guy that's in the $40 to $44 million range, forgetting even what everybody else has? When you've got a guy that's almost a third of that luxury tax number, it does feel like it's hard to build a roster that doesn't dip their toe into that luxury tax.
I think you're right, 100%. It's not impossible, like you said, but it is inherently difficult in the current landscape to have a max guy. And look, this is not to say Trae Young's not worth a max. He is. Trae Young's a max player. He's a superstar player. But when you have someone like that making that much money, it is hard to simultaneously build a team that is very good and also be under the luxury tax. That's a very sort of narrow thread that you're trying to get through. This year's Nuggets team, for instance, like in the past, they haven't paid the luxury tax. This year was the first time they really kind of went into the tax comfortably and they won the title. Now, that does not necessarily tell you that they're always going to win the title, but it does tell you that like those extra expenditures can really do a lot on the margins for you. And look, in the NBA, you can't just have one player. Now, DeJounte Murray is a really good player, but even after this season, if you were to retain DeJounte, it's going to be for $30, $35 million a year. Like, he's not going to be making $17 million anymore. Now you have two guys making $75 million, $80 million, and then that's even harder. So, long story short, yeah, I think that Tony Ressler has said that he'll pay the tax when necessary. We haven't seen that just yet, but one of the reasons why that kind of has to be the tenor is that if you are trying to build a contender, as I think the Hawks are definitely trying to do, eventually you're going to have to pay for it because otherwise it's just almost impossible to do.
Yeah, and, you know, coincidentally, now Joker goes into his Supermax deals, right? I mean, you know, now it's $47.50. I mean, you know, at that point, you're gonna be in it whether you want to be in it or not. Brad Rowland joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, host of the Locked on Hawks podcast, the network. What do you think ultimately happens with DeJounte Murray? I know you and I have talked about this, but do you think that there's a contract offered to him over the summer? Do you think that he comes out and makes a statement that he's going to test free agency? Like, what do you think the future is? Because, again, you really do have to kind of think about the long term, because if this thing goes really well, okay, now it's going to probably cost you a lot of money. And I don't know if he wants to sign a contract this summer because, again, he's potentially going to be a high-priced free agent. What do you think ultimately happens with him?
Yeah, it's a situation right now this summer where it's neither side's fault, and that's important to point out. It's just the nature of the CBA right now where his last contract was such a bargain that the Hawks are basically only allowed to offer him so much in an extension. Now, I expect the Hawks to offer that extension if I had to guess, as far as this weekend actually is when they're technically allowed to offer that extension. But everyone around the league that I have talked to, and I mean everyone around the league, believes that Murray's not going to take it, and he probably shouldn't. I think he's going to get more than that on the market a year from now. So unless he just suddenly prioritizes the safety of having that contract signed now, I think the consensus is going to be that he's going to hit free agency in a year. And that's tricky. And I think that's probably why you've at least heard his name out there in trade stuff. I think the Hawks have not been shopping DeJounte Murray from what I understand, but they've had some conversations about him. And I think it would be malpractice not to, just because of the situation. He could leave on his own volition in a year, and there is nothing the Hawks can do to stop him. And that's a tough spot to be in when you're a Hawks team that has him as your second-best player who you traded a boatload for a year ago. It's precarious, but they kind of knew that was going to happen when they made the trade. At least they should have, because this is always going to be the case. 2 years after making that deal, he was going to probably hit free agency. And it might just be a waiting game, and you hope that you win this year, and you kind of sell him internally on sticking around. But next July, about a year from now, he's probably going to be able to speak to any team that he wants to and sign at the highest bidder, and that's always perilous for the incumbent team.
Does it make sense for Kobe Bufkin to be on this active roster, or is it better for him to go to College Park and start every night and accumulate minutes and get, you know, into the lifestyle of a professional player. What makes more sense at the end of the day for Kobe Bufkin?
I think a lot of that will depend on whether he's going to be on the fringes of the rotation or not. I think if he's just never playing in Atlanta, you will see him in College Park, kind of in the way that Jalen Johnson did 2 years ago, mm-hmm. where it was very clear Jalen was not going to play for the big league club unless there were multiple injuries. And because of that, they smartly sent him to College Park and said, okay, he has to play. What you don't want to happen is your first-round pick to just not be playing anywhere. That's not really a tenable situation. So if he earns, like, you know, the ninth or tenth spot in the rotation, I'm not saying he has to play every single night, but he has to be playing basketball regularly. And if he's not, part of the appeal of having College Park down the street is that he can go down there and play one night and come back to the Hawks the next night. Because you also want to have him be around your guys, be around your systems, be around Quinn Snyder, and learn from those guys. But in the end, he has to be on the court. So it's really going to depend on who's in front of him, if they sign guys in front of him. But he's also 19, and he's a rookie, and this is a team trying to win. So it's kind of a delicate balance. Last year, A.J. Griffin was just too good, basically, to not play. We'll see if Buck can kind of follow that landscape, but it could be more like Johnson. And if that's the case, he might spend more time in College Park.
So last question, Brad. How important does A.J. Griffin and Jalen Johnson become for this roster this particular year?
I think very important. Whether they're starting or not, it will kind of depend on who else is around them. But I think both for this year and I think crucially in the future, they're going to need those guys. We talked about the salary cap situation earlier. They're spending a lot of money on some players, and these are guys that they're hoping can be not necessarily always going to be stars, but certainly going to be starters for them 2, 3, 4 years from now. And you have to see signs of that now. I think we saw signs of that last year, but another step forward. They're very young and providing depth. But look, make no mistake, they're going to have to play, especially Jalen now that John Collins is gone. He's in a much more prominent role than he was in a year ago. So I would circle both of those guys. And fortunately, they have the talent as, you know, former top prospects to be able to return some value there.
Brad Rowland, he is the host of the Locked On Hawks podcast, a daily podcast about the Atlanta Hawks. And he joined me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at BT Rowland as well. Brad, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes tonight on the show. We will certainly...
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios with you on this Tuesday evening. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Braves playing some long ball right now. Ronnie is homered. Murphy is homered. Riley is homered. 4-1. Take that, Minnesota. The all-time single season. And we just talked about, Ryan, how third of an inning, four hits, four earned runs, no walks and a strikeout. He's got 20 pitches. They just beat the tar feathers out of him. Just bombs away. Well, John Collins traded. Our long national nightmare is over. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Brad Rowland. He is the host of the Locked On Hawks podcast, the daily podcast about the Atlanta Hawks. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at BT Rowland. Brad, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes here on the show tonight.
Happy to do it, and always happy to talk with you about anything, really, with regard to Atlanta sports across the board.
Well, listen, I guess this was inevitable, and I guess, you know, it's a salary dump, but at the same time, I don't think that they were ever going to get anything of real value back. I think the value is, honestly, the salary savings, the exemption, the roster spot. But from a player standpoint, you know, it's Rudy Gay and a second-round pick. But did you feel like they were ever going to get really anything back compensation-wise in return for a trade of John Collins?
As far as this offseason is concerned, basically no. I think it was going to be something like this. Perhaps around the draft, there would have been more of like a pick swap, that kind of thing. There's a little bit more relatability and what you could get around the draft. But the mistake really, if you want to point to one in terms of not trading him, would have been trading him well earlier than this. They would have gotten more than this for John Collins a year ago or 2 years ago. As far as this offseason is concerned, they basically were just looking to get off the contract. They can spend it however they want to, but it's the savings that they're looking for and the flexibility that comes along with that. But, yeah, I mean, Rudy Gay is basically, dead salary at this point in time, and they're just looking to sell that money for the future. And I do understand all the rationale there. Of course, it's not a basketball trade at that point. It's more about the shuffling the deck chairs with regard to the money. But this is kind of what I expected.
Brad, I know hindsight is always 20/20. Was it a mistake to give John Collins the $125 million contract when they did?
I think it hasn't gone well, for sure. And I said this before, but
I see what the way that landscape was, if you go back in that time, it's a little bit of revision, of course. But the Hawks were kind of fitting against themselves. There wasn't really a huge market for John, and they could have probably sweated it out a little bit longer and made him kind of pay a little bit less in terms of what they actually paid him. As far as retaining him, I think that was only going to happen, and it probably should have. The timing of that was just the case where they were coming off the great weapon they had, and it was only going to be him coming back to the team. But they could have played a little bit more hardball with that contract, and certainly, given what they're trading for him, to give him basically away for nothing now, it doesn't look fantastic. Now, there is 2 years of value that he's got on the team the last 2 years, but, again, often 21 the last 2 years. So I think all things equal, probably not. But in the NBA, if you're trying to win, you want to retain your assets, especially when you're coming off that kind of piece of the Hawks head. So keeping him was only going to be what happened. That's just kind of the reality. But they could have been a little bit better with the way they negotiated that contract.
All right, let's put Brad on hold for just a second as we get his audio fixed and potted back up on there. So Brad Rowland is the host of the Locked On Hawks podcast, a daily podcast, talking about your Atlanta Hawks on the Locked On Podcast Network. And Brad is joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Brad, we got you for a better connection now.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, it was my headphones disconnected. So here we are. I was just talking to nobody. My apologies.
No, it's all right. We kind of heard you in an echo chamber. So that's what we heard. Look, I'm not mad at the decision to trade John Collins and even the compensation, but how important does this next move become? Because won't that kind of give us the idea of, okay, we're either going to be a team that's going to contend or luxury tax, or it just feels like that it's setting up that the next move has to be somebody that's a difference maker for this roster.
Yeah, I do think that it's going to have to be something bigger, especially to sell it to your fans. When you're making a trade like this, you can't really sell that they got better with that deal on Monday. So as far as the setup is concerned, there's still some work to be done. They're still in a place where they have some contracts that are not great. The front court is kind of disjointed, but they're setting up for, if they want to, kind of a bigger splash. The problem is they've already traded, two or three first round picks in the future. That's usually what the capital that you're going to use in those kind of big splash trades. But I think this is definitely more of a retooling effort. It's not a rebuild, but when you play the way they played the last 2 years, it's really kind of hard to run it back. And, Collins is the first step, but I do think that it's going to be more of a pointed roster change versus tweaking on the margins eventually. I'm not sure if it's going to be now. I think the Hawks might just kind of run it back a little bit around the margins this year. But as far as like a year from now, if the results are similar, you got DeJounte Murray expiring, all that fun stuff. Like, they're going to have to make some bigger decisions at some point.
Do you think that if Quinn Snyder wanted John Collins to be here and be on this roster, that he would still be here?
I think it would have helped for sure. I hesitate to say definitively because Quinn has said himself, I know we talked to Jeff Schultz and others, like, he said that he's not in control of the roster, and I do believe him. I think he has a big say on the roster, and especially when you're a guy who just got here with a lot of power in a five-year contract. I think if you went into Landry Fields' office or Tony Russell's office and said, please don't trade John Collins, they probably wouldn't have done it, if that makes sense. Coaches don't often do that. They kind of, especially new guys that are just coming in, they don't go to the mat like that. And ultimately, I think from the top down, they were always going to trade someone with a bigger contract this offseason. But sure, I think if Quinn had really like said, this is my guy, don't trade him, that does have some serious sway if that were to happen.
So what does the $25 million exemption that the Hawks have mean in the grand scheme of things? What do they do with that?
Well, the answer is maybe nothing. Trade exceptions can be really useful. They can also be assets that never really do anything for you. Basically, what it can do is the Hawks are allowed to now take up to $25 million in a trade for a player or players in the same deal without having to match salary. Now, the problem with that is if they were to do that, they would be way, 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 way over the luxury tax. And I think that's not really something that's probably going to happen in the near future. But it doesn't have to be all of that money either. If they want to go out and trade for a guy that has a salary in the $12 million range, $15 million range, they can take that guy in now without having to send anything back. And that flexibility can be very useful, especially in a league now where there's – I mean, honestly, the Hawks are one of these teams this week. There are teams that are trying to get off salary for not a lot in return for just financial reasons. And perhaps the Hawks can turn around and grab a guy that is very useful to them from another team that's trying to sell. So long story short, it's an asset that could be very useful. Also, this happens all the time where teams have these exceptions and you never even know about them. Like, for instance, the Justin Holiday one the Hawks just had for a year. They're now using it, but they didn't have to use it. It's one of those things where it can be appealing and you can kind of sell it that way, but also it may expire without actually being used.
So I guess the question becomes, when you have a supermax player that's on your roster, it feels like it's hard to avoid the luxury tax unless you just have the most outstanding drafts in the history of the NBA with it, right? I mean, you've got to, it's like the NFL. I mean, when you have a $50 million quarterback, you better have top-notch first-round draft picks and have cheap labor on your roster or you're going to be over the cap. So short of all of that, and Trey's not going anywhere, but how difficult is the building of this roster to avoid a luxury tax when you have a guy that's in the $40 to $44 million range, forgetting even what everybody else has? When you've got a guy that's almost a third of that luxury tax number, it does feel like it's hard to build a roster that doesn't dip their toe into that luxury tax.
I think you're right, 100%. It's not impossible, like you said, but it is inherently difficult in the current landscape to have a max guy. And look, this is not to say Trae Young's not worth a max. He is. Trae Young's a max player. He's a superstar player. But when you have someone like that making that much money, it is hard to simultaneously build a team that is very good and also be under the luxury tax. That's a very sort of narrow thread that you're trying to get through. This year's Nuggets team, for instance, like in the past, they haven't paid the luxury tax. This year was the first time they really kind of went into the tax comfortably and they won the title. Now, that does not necessarily tell you that they're always going to win the title, but it does tell you that like those extra expenditures can really do a lot on the margins for you. And look, in the NBA, you can't just have one player. Now, DeJounte Murray is a really good player, but even after this season, if you were to retain DeJounte, it's going to be for $30, $35 million a year. Like, it's not going to be – he's not going to make it $17 million anymore. Now you have two guys making $75 million, $80 million, and then that's even harder. So, long story short, yeah, I think that Tony Ressler has said that he'll pay the tax when necessary. We haven't seen that just yet, But one of the reasons why that kind of has to be the tenor is that if you are trying to build a contender, as I think the Hawks are definitely trying to do, eventually you're going to have to pay for it, because otherwise it's just almost impossible to do.
Yeah, and, you know, coincidentally, now Joker goes into his Supermax deals, right? I mean, you know, now it's now it's $47.50. I mean, you know, at that point, you're gonna be in it whether you want to be in it or not. Brad Rowland joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline, host of the Locked On Hawks podcast, the network. What do you think ultimately happens with DeJounte Murray? I know you and I have talked about this, but do you think that there's a contract offered to him over the summer? Do you think that he comes out and makes a statement that he's going to test free agency? Like, what do you think the future is? Because, again, you really do have to kind of think about the long term, because if this thing goes really well, okay, now it's going to probably cost you a lot of money. And I don't know if he wants to sign a contract this summer because, again, he's potentially going to be a high-priced free agent. What do you think ultimately happens with him?
Yeah, it's a situation right now this summer where it's neither side's fault, and that's important to point out. It's just the nature of the CBA right now, where his last contract was such a bargain that the Hawks are basically only allowed to offer him so much in an extension. Now, I expect the Hawks to offer that extension, if I had to guess, as far as this weekend, actually, is when they're technically allowed to offer that extension. But everyone around the league that I have talked to, and I mean everyone around the league, believes that Murray's not going to take it, and he probably shouldn't. I think he's going to get more than that on the market a year from now. So unless he just suddenly prioritizes the safety of having that contract signed now, I think the consensus is going to be that he's going to hit free agency in a year. And that's tricky. And I think that's probably why you've at least heard his name out there in trade stuff. I think the Hawks have not been shopping DeJounte Murray, from what I understand, but they've had some conversations about him. And I think it would be malpractice not to, just because of the situation. He could leave on his own volition in a year, and there is nothing the Hawks can do to stop him. And that's a tough spot to be in when you're a Hawks team that has him as your second-best player, who you traded a boatload for a year ago. It's precarious, but they kind of knew that was going to happen when they made the trade. At least they should have, because this is always going to be the case. 2 years after making that deal, he was going to probably get free agency. And it might just be a waiting game, and you hope that you win this year, and you kind of sell him internally on sticking around. But next July, about a year from now, he's probably going to be able to speak to any team that he wants to and sign at the highest bidder, and that's always perilous for the incumbent team.
Does it make sense for Kobe Bufkin to be on this active roster, or is it better for him to go to College Park and start every night and accumulate minutes and get, you know, into the lifestyle of a professional player? What makes more sense at the end of the day for Kobe Bufkin?
I think a lot of that will depend on whether he's going to be on the fringes of the rotation or not. I think if he's just never playing in Atlanta, you will see him in College Park, kind of in the way that Jalen Johnson did 2 years ago, mm-hmm. where it was very clear Jalen was not going to play for the big league club unless there were multiple injuries. And because of that, they smartly sent him to College Park and said, okay, he has to play. What you don't want to happen is your first round pick to just not be playing anywhere. That's not really a tenable situation. So if he earns, like, you know, the ninth or tenth spot in the rotation, I'm not saying he has to play every single night, but he has to be playing basketball regularly. And if he's not, part of the appeal of having College Park down the street is that he can go down there and play one night and come back to the Hawks the next night. Because you also want to have him be around your guys, be around your systems, be around Quinn Snyder, and learn from those guys. But in the end, he has to be on the court. So it's really going to depend on who's in front of him, if they sign guys in front of him. But he's also 19, and he's a rookie, and this is a team trying to win. So it's kind of a delicate balance. Last year, A.J. Griffin was just too good, basically, to not play. We'll see if Buck can kind of follow that landscape, but it could be more like Johnson. And if that's the case, he might spend more time in College Park.
So last question, Brad. How important does A.J. Griffin and Jalen Johnson become for this roster this particular year?
I think very important. Whether they're starting or not, it will kind of depend on who else is around them. But I think both for this year and I think crucially in the future, they're going to need those guys. We talked about the salary cap situation earlier. They're spending a lot of money on some players, and these are guys that they're hoping can be not necessarily always going to be stars, but certainly going to be starters for them 2, 3, 4 years from now. And you have to see signs of that now. I think we saw signs of that last year, but another step forward. They're very young and providing depth. But look, make no mistake, they're going to have to play, especially Jalen now that John Collins is gone. He's in a much more prominent role than he was in a year ago. So I would circle both of those guys. And fortunately, they have the talent as, you know, former top prospects to be able to return some value there.
Brad Rowland, he is the host of the Locked On Hawks podcast, a daily podcast about the Atlanta Hawks. And he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at BT Rowland as well. Brad, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes tonight on the show. We will certainly chat again with you here soon.
Thanks, John. Sorry about the connection earlier.
Nah, no problem. No problem. When we come back from the top of the hour, we'll be time for the Falcons flyover. All of your look at the news and notes of the Atlanta Falcons for today. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
There's searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.